Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Well, we set a new record in the Rotten Tomatoes game. I'll tell you whether it's happy or sad. Maybe you can tell by the tone of my voice. So we got that coming, and an epic Rich Banks song. Maybe him and Lynch's finest work. I don't know. It's tough. There's a lot of good ones out there, but this one is right up there. So you're going to want to collect and trade this Rich Banks song. Share it with a friend. First8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. Of course, there's thousands of them, but only one uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep. 8sleep. Oh, it is a game changer. It has changed my life. The Pod by 8sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows the link between sleep performance and temperature. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. If I had had this thing growing up in the San Fernando Valley, I would be a happy and contented man right now, because I would have got some sleep instead of sweltering and tossing and turning. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, have a 17% increase in deep sleep. It's all about sleep hygiene now, people. We've figured it out. It's the key to life. You literally live longer when you sleep better. And right now, you get $150 off and free shipping at 8sleep.com. That's E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/Adam. 8sleep.com/Adam.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You're tuned to Rush Hour on the station that plays all the hits from A to YYZ. There is unrest in the forest this week as we say farewell to the king, the analog kid, the professor, the new world man, our brother Neil. Whether you said Pert or Peart, we're talking about a man who didn't give interviews. And surely the furthest thing from his mind was telling people how to pronounce his name. Neil Peart, the lyricist, percussionist, philosopher of the greatest band that ever existed, is now a full-time resident of Xanadu. As the innocent slips away, we got Rush on the Toolbox.
Sweet memories.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Vinny Tortorich, with Gina Grad on news. Bald Brian on sound effects. And we'll play a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, master of the dark arts, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You realize I'm not a comedian.
Oh, he's coming in, and I'm excited, Vinny, is, because we're going to do the get into Eat This, Not That, which everyone knows.
That had its moment.
Seen all those tweets and all the stuff and all the whatevers, and Brian knows it well. Gina knows it well. I know a little bit of it.
I read the books, yeah.
And I think some of the stuff Vinny would agree with, and I don't know if this is in the book, but for instance, which is, I love peanut butter, but cashew butter is pretty good too, and you should probably eat cashew butter instead of peanut butter.
Yeah, if you're picking one.
If it doesn't make a big difference to you, pick cashew butter. Things like that for people that would have no idea that one was better than the other.
My recollection is that it's very little to do with NSNG and very calorie in, calorie out.
Yeah, and like fast food, have this chicken sandwich, not sandwich.
But also, Vinny has some thoughts about Peloton and the competition. Again, I found myself on a rowing machine last night chasing somebody's handle. Because you look at your thing and you go, okay, you are in 13th place. And Devo 15 is in 12th place, you're at 5,721 meters, and he's at 5,744 meters, and you're like, I'm going to, and there's a minute and 40 seconds left, you're like, I'm going to catch this dude. I don't know who this dude is.
You can't be beat by a guy named Devo.
Yeah, and it's probably a chick, but either way,
even worse.
I'm gonna catch him.
You got him.
And now, in this land where I've said to everyone all the time, just shut it down and break a sweat and clear your mind, I'm now competing with somebody I don't know.
You're competing with
a... literally trying to chase them.
Yeah, with that, with a handle.
As if he didn't feel inferior enough.
Right.
Someone I don't even know.
And all I want to do... Now, it is... It forces me... I don't really kick it in until about... I do a half hour. I don't kick it in until about the last 4 or 5 minutes where I start looking at the screen. I mostly drift off and don't pay attention. But it does force, and then you pass the person with like 81 seconds left, and you're like, I'm got to stay in front of this MF-er.
Or else,
or
dot,
else.
Dot, dot.
Right, so.
Question mark.
Yeah, and I really don't, I have no idea what it means. But it does force me to go harder for like the last 2 minutes.
The best workouts I had on the rowing machine, which was my favorite workout, was just trying to beat my own time.
Yeah, you know, right.
Competition.
Well, and that's why Fitbits and pedometers and all these things work, because it's like a little game you're playing with yourself. You're constantly trying to beat your last score.
Yes, you are. So I had so thanks to Hydro, HYDROW, who dropped off that rowing machine. I still have to figure out what to do with my other rowing
machine. The reason you're slowly going insane.
Yes. So
there's fancy.
There's that. But Vinny has thoughts about Peloton and the sort of competition stuff, and then Eat This and Not That as well. So we'll get into that. I was getting into the other warehouse, and I was thinking all the discussion we have as a society is sort of, everyone hates big corporations, these big corporations, big corrupt corporations.
Easy targets, yeah.
And I go, yeah, I get it. And then there's me, who I don't like big government, because big government is like big corporation with no competition.
That you're paying for.
I feel like while there's plenty wrong with big corporations, they sort of compete. They have to compete. Really? And it kind of keeps them, anytime there's competition, it helps
in my
world, versus if there was just big Nike and there was no big Adidas or big Puma or big anything, I don't know where we'd be, or big Chrysler or big Toyota. Like, I like everybody keeping everyone in competition. As a matter of fact, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yes, it's a double-edged sword, though, because the competition is what drives GM out of Dayton, Ohio, and to, you know, Guadalajara.
Oh, there is no perfect way. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I want school competition, not LA Unified.
I don't, we'll end up with a better product ultimately. Just,
yeah, there's always going to be corruption and graft and
or just fallout.
There's going to be whatever. Yeah. There's no such thing. It's just everything works. Mm. There's ebb and flow to everything. Right. But by and large, I like
you will
I
end
like
up with a better product.
I think. Well, you know, it's funny. I wrote it down somewhere. I can't remember where. See if I can find it. But I was going through the parking lot mm-hmm. of this place. And I was like, I'm driving an Infiniti. Mm-hmm. And you're driving a BMW. Mm-hmm. And you're driving a Subaru. And Dawson's got a Toyota truck. And Max Pat's got a Toyota Prius. And Matt has a Honda. Mm-hmm. And Dylan has a Chevy. Mm-hmm. And
there's a Tesla out there.
That's Gary. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about 10 different brands of automobiles. Mm-hmm. And they're all competing for us. And right. and I'm talking to Brian after the show the other day. And he's like, Christy's looking at we're looking to step up. What do you think of the Infiniti? Now, I have to say it's a good truck. Or if I said it's a pile of shit, then he'd be looking somewhere else. They're sure. looking to make the move from this to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can say, well, then what about, what's Emmy got? A Honda? Volkswagen? Who's got the Volkswagen?
Volkswagen, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Volkswagen. I mean, we're literally, it's like 10 people in 10 car makes. Literally. I don't know any other world where this would exist. It's literally everyone's driving something different.
Good point.
I think they all like it. You can say, well, what about VW and that whole thing with the diesel and them polluting and blah, blah, blah. True. They got busted. They got into trouble. Their stock went down. They had to go back, regroup, fix it. Now they have to come back again and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. It's like, so you go, well, what about big corporations? Don't they? Yes, they do. They do. They get busted. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they don't get busted. And but they're all competing and we get the best vehicle.
Yeah. That's right. And it wasn't Wells Fargo who had the, you know, 6 month, year long, we are so sorry campaign.
Yeah, it happens, but what...
I had a VW at the time when the whole scandal was going down. Remember I had the Passat? Mm-hmm. It was a great car. I was very happy with that car.
And what's so different about a school system or an automotive manufacturer? Mm-hmm. See, I don't think there's that big a difference, but either way.
You know who's raised their game in light of competition over the last, I don't know, decade or so? Post office. Ever since, you know, all FedEx and UPS been dominating, it's like, I used the post office for the first time in God knows how long. Like, they're like high tech now. They have all the stuff that UPS has.
Right. And what about the DMV?
The opposite.
What about the DMV? Opposite.
You call them. They never call you back. They can't make an appointment. There's nothing.
4-hour wait.
Even the post office and the DMV, which were the same 10 years ago or 20 years ago, now one has UPS and DHS and all these other things kind of coming at it, and they have to modernize, and the other doesn't.
Nope.
So why would you? You'll do what you people are. They're not good or they're not bad. They just do what they have to do. Nope. That's it. And I happen to like the competition because I think it brings out the best in private corporations like VW or an Infiniti or whatever it is, but it's also going to bring out the best in the DMV.
Yep.
Like this notion of like, let's get some charter schools. It's going to bring out the best or at least better in LA Unified. It'll force them to up their game. But either way, I just brought this on my mind because the other warehouse, if you want to know, you know, why government versus private, but just government. The other warehouse, I was trying to sell it, and then there was some sort of environmental report, and all the shit went down.
Is it the car museum?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Long story, not based on really anything. Someone just made me a good offer, and I said, oh, I'll get another warehouse and put the cars over there, and then we have another warehouse where we put the production. And they made me this sweet deal, and it was all ready to go through, and at the last second, they wanted some sort of like environmental impact, whatever, groundwater, ground table, whatever. And they found too many particles per billion of blah, blah, blah. The bank pulled out. The buyer pulled out. Everyone pulled out. And It's not dangerous. It's not anything. It's just the fucking government. It's why everyone's going to Texas. So
you couldn't just move the grate in front of the curb again?
Drainage.
Yeah, because we're in a corridor here that used to do a lot of manufacturing for the aeronautics and things like that. Support Lockheed was blah, 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 and 80 feet below us is bad water. Now, I've had the air tested in the place, and there's nothing wrong with the air. It's just below, but... And the government's not going to clean it up, but they're also not going to let you sell it either. So they have no plan of anything. And it would have passed 2 months earlier, but they changed it from 1 billion per particle to 1 jillion per particle, and now it's not going to pass. So I said, fine. So I said to the guy, the realtor guy, I said, like, well, what's our choices now? And he's like, well, it's years and millions of dollars, Jesus. And you can't do anything. So I said, okay, well, test the air. That's another $5,000, like tested the air. The air inside is fine. It's actually better than outside. And I said, so then we'll rent it out for now. And he said, okay. And I said, okay, so what's involved with that? Well, you got to get a permit, you know, the blah, 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 and the blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. And, you know, handicap bathroom, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. And so the latest is, it's like, okay, we're going to rent it out. And I brought my phone in for the first time ever because he wrote me what we need to do. He said, we have to get a parking exemption application, and we have to do a parking study demand. There's a parking study demand. And I said, okay, who does that? And it's like, you hire an outside guy, and they do the parking study, and they do the whatever. And I said, okay, how much is that? And he's like, that's $9,200. So you got to spend $10,000 so somebody can study parking so that you can then hand that permit in so that the city will let you rent your space out.
At a certain point, the rising fees are going to make it not financially make sense to rent the place out.
Thus, people, where do you think, where's Vinny Tortorich, everybody?
He moved.
He moved. Yep. That's the whole point, everybody, who's like, big corporations, big corporation, big corporation. You want more government. What makes you think big government is good? What makes you think they're going to do the right thing? You hate the big pharma, and you hate Nabisco, or you hate Dow, or you hate whoever, chemical companies, or whatever. You hate all these companies. Fine. You want a giant government who's just going to tell you what to do all the time? That sounds like one huge company with no competition and no checks and balances.
And no interest other than just
and there's nothing.
Collecting.
What am I supposed to do? You either pay somebody to do this parking survey, or you don't. And if you don't, they don't let you do it.
And unlike most businesses where, like, the idea is at the end of the day, get the job done, get paid for the job. They don't care if the job gets done or not. Whether the deal gets done, the thing gets rented, it makes no difference. It makes no difference to them.
That part of life where you remove that sort of onus of, like, we got to, you know, the DMV.
We have to close the deal.
Yeah, the DMV doesn't, you know, it's like when you're dealing with the city and, like, you're dealing with inspectors and you're, like, talking to your guy and, like, did you call him? Yeah, I've called him 3 times. Did they call you back? No. We'll keep calling him. It's like, why should they call you back? They don't care.
Nothing in it for them.
They get fucking paid anyway. Yeah. The DMV is the DMV. They don't care if you make your appointment or they're full for the next 10 years or you have to go somewhere or stand in line for 3 hours. It doesn't matter to them. Why should it? And how else would you expect people, dogs, cats, any of God's creatures, how would you expect us to act? Of course, we're just going to act the way we're acting. Mm-hmm. We're acting the way kids act.
Act the way we're allowed to act.
Right. The way we're allowed to act. Right. So the DMV is allowed to act that way, and big government is allowed to act that way, and that's what they do, and thus that's what happens. All right. So not a fan, but I'm just saying, those of you who are not fans of big corporations should also realize that just a giant government controlling all the corporations is just another big corporation. Yeah. And
the
ultimate corporation with no competition. Mm-hmm. And all I've got to say is we've got 10 people here with 10 different cars out there. They're all hoping to get one of us, to flip one of us, to get one of us from Brian. Christy's driving a what?
Range Rover.
A Range Rover. We want to flip her over to Infiniti. Right. And you're talking to me about that's what we want. If the government just made one car and it was out in that parking lot right now, it'd be a steaming pile of shit. That's all I'm saying. All right. Let's see. We have the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. We have Eat This and Not That with Vinny. We have Emmy in his homeless video.
Emmy's homeless?
I wrote down all... I actually wrote down all the places I've lived since I was an adult. And how homelessness is not about not having a home. It's about being mental illness or being a junkie or whatever it is. But what is Emmy's homeless video? Sorry, Max Spana.
So he took a video while he was walking around Studio City.
Oh, God.
This is Studio City. You guys who are not from around here have to understand that homelessness...
Oh,
there's a big Duke on the sidewalk. Homelessness was... Skid Row, and then sort of downtowny, and then it kind of spread out from downtown. But there was no such thing as San Fernando Valley homelessness. There was no such thing.
Oh my God!
It's just a mess. There's disgusting. Just junk and blankets and
food scraps
and turds, and everything's just everywhere.
It's just ubiquitous.
As far as a society goes, it is it's a yardstick. It's like you walk into somebody's house and you see, and they're a hoarder, and there's newspapers everywhere and boxes everywhere and stuffed animals
soup
and
cans.
Shit everywhere, and they're going, "Hold on, let me show you the master bedroom." And you go, No.
How do I
this
even
place is a fucking mess. Yeah. This place is a fucking mess.
I get
and they
it.
Go, "You've not seen the kitchen, you've not seen the entry hall." And I go, No. I don't need to step into your home. I'm looking at this thing. You're looking at this, but you haven't seen that.
Right.
It's like, nope, I've seen enough. There's tents everywhere. Oh. There's garbage everywhere. This notion, I was laughing with I did Tucker Carlson's show yesterday, and I was saying to him, it is crazy that, as we've talked about, that Shelby came from Texas to go to Venice to have the freedom to build his own custom race cars, and now there's no such thing as a Carroll Shelby in Venice anymore, but it's all homeless
right
now. So the Shelbys were pushed out, essentially, and the homeless were ushered in. Now, nobody invites homeless people to come. Homeless is what happens when you stop enforcing rules and laws. That's just what happens. It's nature. It's kind of interesting. It's like, what does Ivy do? Ivy is nature. Ivy just grows.
Spreads.
And you don't go like, "Hey, Ivy, wait a minute. That's my neighbor's trellis. You stay on my..." No. Nature just spreads out. Nature just spreads. It just goes. Like, homeless is just kind of nature. It's just like people, it's like if you let them sleep there, then another sleep there. If you let that guy sleep there, if you let him park. Matt DeAndrea lives in Venice. He said there's just campers parked all over the place. Like, people...
Yep.
People remodeled and bought and made like a $3.5 million house, and there's a fucking Winnebago sitting in front of it, and the guy's like dealing drugs out of it, and their kids got to walk by it to go to school. Nature, people, this, when you just go, fuck it, the thing about nature, it's like ivy. You got to fucking prune it once a week. You got to get out there and hit it once a week. You just go, fuck it, I'm looking the other way. It just goes. It just spreads. It just goes. That's where we're at. We're at the crisis level now. It's gone from the, you know, downtown LA, spreading into the Studio City's a nice suburb, and the houses.
Venice is a nice place.
Oh, look, the average Venice,
high rent district.
The average Venice house is $2.7 million bucks, and that person pays $41,000 in taxes a year on that property. And what do they get? They get fucking fecal matter on the sidewalk. Like,
and a Winnebago blocking their view of their window.
Listen, we got to start governing. I know this whole thing. It's like the man, the police, the rule of law. Like, fuck that. There's everyone in prison is there because they were dealing marijuana on the sidewalk. And I know there's an attack on like authority and rule of law. This is it. This is what you see. This is the end result.
Well, ironically, you started talking about, you know, the be careful what you wish for, government interference or just too much government or the ultimate corporation. You know, they're going to bungle, they're going to mess it up, whatever, a lack of competition. This is a lack of government, like, stepping in. Like, this is a government, like, hands off, like, the path of least resistance. Next thing you know, it's a massive problem that affects everyone.
Well, nobody, there's a shift. The shift is, nobody wants to be called a bad person. So nobody wants to be called racist or bad or bad on, you know, homeless or whatever. And the problem is when you enforce things, people aren't going to like you.
Yeah, you're mean.
There's mean. So we're
insensitive or whatever.
Right. We've taken this cultural thing and if you think about it, we've grafted on this thing with it should be all policy. But it's not all policy. It's mean people versus compassion.
Right.
You know what I mean? These people in their heart have compassion, and we should show compassion for this, and we should show compassion for that. Right. But that's not letting them waste on the street.
That's not compassionate.
Nobody wants. So some cop is going to rouse some guy. He's going to put zip ties on him. He's going to be struggling with him to get him in the squad car. And somebody's going to be filming it on their fucking phone. And they're going to put it up on the internet. And then a whole bunch of people are going to call that guy what? Mean, racist, whatever, homophobe, something phobe, homeless phobe, whatever it is.
Hobophobic.
Right. So the mayor Garcetti doesn't want to be called hobophobic.
Yep.
And so everyone's just like, compassion, if we just open our hearts or whatever.
That shit.
Right. And it just goes.
Yeah.
It just goes. All right. Now, this is in 50 years we'll all be chicks part. This is us thinking, this is chick think. This is be nice. Be compassionate. Don't be whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't let your kids have what they want for breakfast. Don't force them to have a hard-boiled egg. You know, this notion, we've gotten away from it. And look no further than the homeless population. This is exactly what happens when you don't want to be called a bad guy. You don't want to. This notion of being the man enforcing the laws. Mm-hmm. Now,
not interested.
Not interested anymore.
I was listening to John and Ken yesterday, and I think it was Newsom. I hope I'm getting this right. But they're talking about service-resistant homeless people, that they don't want the services that are being offered to them. And I think it was Newsom who was like, I reject that wholeheartedly. If you offer somebody something, they will take it because they're the ones pumping all these, you know, $600,000 per unit apartment buildings for homeless people. And they're, you know, it's not working out very well. But he rejected the premise of being service resistant wholeheartedly. I believe it was Newsom.
It's really,
it's pretty easy to imagine homeless people don't want to be helped, right?
Well, they're out of their mind, yeah, and they want to do
whether or not
they want to
do.
Exactly.
Well, yes. And that's the thing. I mean, I can take care of myself pretty good, but I look forward every Sunday to walking to the farmer's market alone, earbuds in, listening to podcasts, listening to the news. I love it. That's my thing. I have to walk under the 101 underpass. I don't know how to do it because there's no room on the sidewalk. So my choice is to scoot along a curb where somebody is sleeping with their entire tent city or walk in the street as people are trying to get onto the freeway. Those are my choices.
Right. And the point is you never know. You know, when we're leaving the warehouse where I have to get the $9,200 parking survey.
That sounds made up.
We're leaving at, 9 o'clock at night, and there's that homeless guy wanted to fight on the sidewalk, and my daughter was a heap of tears because she was freaked out. And it's like, okay, you don't know. No. You never know. There's people flopped out all over the place. You don't know when you're going to trip over one. You don't know when one's going to fucking decide to stab somebody. You don't know. That's the whole point. You may step over a bunch of people that are sleeping, passed out, or dead, or one may wake up and bite you. You have Newsom's quote. Sorry.
Yeah. So he's saying the reason homeless people refuse to move into housing is that it's too far from where they live or doesn't meet their needs. So he says, you've got to meet people where they are. There's a mythology about service resistance. I don't think anyone prefers a life to be out struggling and suffering.
You have to meet people where they are.
Skid grid.
So people live for free in Venice, and then other people pay $3 million for a house in Venice. So what should they do if they're flopped out in Venice? Should we just have them move
meet
and
them where they
share
are.
The house?
Yeah,
move in with the
neighbor.
Listen, everybody, if you decide to sleep on the street or pitch a tent under the overpass or whatever it is, if you decide to do that, then we are allowed to ask you to leave, just like if you decide to drink a beer on the beach, we're allowed to tell you to pour it out. We have these rules. You're not allowed to drive a car with no front license plate in the city that does not enforce any rules when it comes to being homeless, everybody I know has been pulled over for no front license plate. So we do enforce rules. Whether you're completely insane or you're the sanest, most actualized person in the world, if you'd like to sleep on the sidewalk, we are allowed to tell you you cannot sleep on the sidewalk. Regardless of your mental condition, we have a rule. No sleeping on the sidewalk. You have to get up and you have to either go home or we have to put you in a facility or you can stay in a fucking drunk tank. It doesn't matter. You don't get to do this. But anyway. All right. Well, problem solved. Wow, Kaylin knew a girl in high school that was murdered by a homeless guy?
Yeah, she was in my class, and she was actually going down to Skid Row to do, like, volunteer work, and a homeless guy pulled a knife on her, made her go to an ATM. She couldn't get money out, and he ended up stabbing her to death in her car.
And when and what grade was she in, or was she beyond high school?
We were probably in 10th or 11th grade, I think.
Jesus
She's like
Christ.
16.
Yeah.
God damn.
No good deed.
Well, look, of course. I mean, I had a dude... The dude was sleeping in front of my warehouse when I, you know, rousted him because we couldn't step over him. We had to step over him. The guy wanted to fight.
Ironically, like, with the guests that were there that night, that would have been interesting.
Like me and Oscar De La Hoya and like three of his training partners. So it would have been a bad fight for the 63-year-old guy who saw two Oscar De La Hoyas. But either way, my daughter was like completely freaked out and he was threatening. He was punching at me and stuff. And it's like, they're mentally ill. Like, we need to do something, everybody. Or I'll make you a compromise. I get to have no front license plate and I don't have to get a fucking parking survey.
That sounds good.
Rent out my warehouse. One or the fucking other. One or the other, please. Oh, we got Rich Banks' homeless song. Let's do it. Flopping in the street.
Off the Reeves.
Every day around L.A., homeless folk like to eat street. Garcetti is mayor and the time is right for shitting in the street. The shitting in the street. Shitting in the street. Down Schumann's. Watch where you put your feet. There'll be homeless junkies flinging poop like monkeys. Shit, shitting in the street. Santa Monica, CA. Shitting in the street. Silver Lake and Skid Row now. Shitting in the street. Can't forget about Studio City.
Wow, that is awesome, timely, poignant, and pungent.
Banks got pipes.
That is Lynch and Rich Banks. Share that with somebody. Spread that around.
Maybe it'll be your a theme song for the Olympics.
It'll
2024.
It'll go viral. All right. Let's see. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time. You will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dozen names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, theme, Dawson.
It's January, a notorious dumping ground for movies, but sometimes the studio buries a movie that ends up being pretty good. So, like for example, Liam Neeson classics like Taken and The Gray, both released in January, so it's going to be a tricky game. January movies.
Ooh, I like this.
I like The Gray.
The range is from 0 to 90.
Yeah.
We'll start with a classic January release that seemed like it had everything going for it. Except for the fact that it was released in January. Robert De Niro once again tried out his comedic chops, this time in a raunchy comedy geared toward millennials, co-starring a perpetually shirtless Zac Efron. 2016's Dirty Grandpa.
Anybody see this?
I the trailer had the very helpful line from Aubrey Plaza, "You're just a dirty grandpa."
This is one of those movies that you just, I remember it came out, but it's so forgettable.
Yeah.
And there was also, there seemed like a little slew of like dirty old people. Yeah. Maybe we have Tyler Perry to blame for that.
There was Bad Grandpa Knoxville film, which I did see and was not good.
Bad Santa, which is a classic.
That's a fucking fantastic movie.
Okay. All right. Wasn't good. People didn't like it. What do we do here? And let's see. The critics couldn't have liked this, but you know, Efron's good and De Niro's good. And I have no idea. So I say 41.
No. Bring it home for me, Jimmy Garoppolo. 10.
I said 10. 12.
Dirty Grandpa's rotten at 11.
Okay.
Wow.
Adam, what in the hell?
I don't know. People had it at 44. Remember, De Niro's a talent. I don't know.
Remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when swashbuckling movies were all the rage?
Mm-hmm.
This was pre-pirate. Think Man in the Iron Mask or the Three Musketeers. Well, the pre-Jesus, Jim Caviezel, also pre-Bob Lattiser, Jim Caviezel, took on Guy Pearce in this adaptation of the Alexandre Dumas novel with Louis Guzman sprinkled in for comic relief. 2002's The Count of Monte Cristo.
Mm.
2002.
I remember the trailer.
This is pre-Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. Now, it's interesting because I don't like these kinds of movies, but Master and Commander with Russell Crowe is one of my favorite movies.
Right. And this is based on a very famous story.
Right. But now what?
I have no idea.
This could be a 66er or 63. I don't think it's in the 70s, but it could be in the 60s, or it could easily be in the 20s or 30s.
I've been burned by the strategy before, but no one's ever said to me, dude, you got to see the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even know that people know. Okay. All right. Where are we? Got some good actors in it. All right, I'm going 41.
I'm going 51.
Right back to 41.
49.
Again.
The Count of Monte Cristo is fresh.
Yes.
At 73%.
And the people have it at 88. Maybe we should see this movie.
Guess so.
A plane full of rugby players crash lands in the Andes, forcing survivors to eat each other. Maybe it's time for. Maybe it was best for this one to be released in January. Ethan Hawke. Stars in 1993's Alive.
It's funny. I saw this in the theater. Yeah. I have this sort of delineation between movies I've seen in the theater, like sort of as a civilian,
right,
and the ones I've seen after I got on TV or on the radio. Mm. Not because anyone recognized me or anything. Just like I remember being poor and that thing of like, we should see a matinee and save $3, kind of stuff. Also, like, it'd be a Wednesday and there'd be nothing cooking. Like, right. I taught my boxing class. I didn't have anything to do. I'd be trying to talk one of my other poor friends into, like, come on, we should go see this movie.
It's 11 o'clock.
So you probably thought this was good just because you got to sit in air conditioning.
Yeah, it was like, it couldn't afford anything at the snack bar, but it was air conditioned and there was nothing going on. And this was toward the end of the movies I saw as a civilian, which I probably enjoyed more because it seemed like a bigger deal. This is a good movie, and it's a good movie to see. I mean, based on a true story, obviously, and it's a good movie to see in the movie theater.
I've never seen the whole thing, but I'm familiar with the plane crash. I've seen it on Twitter or on YouTube. It's harrowing.
It's great. I think they had the same plane crash in Lost as they did in Alive, it's the greatest shot in movies, but if it ever happened in real life, it would never go down this way, which is the tail blows off. And so there's that great shot of like from the cockpit back to this wide open thing. But if you picture an airplane, the second the tail busts off, it just goes into a cartwheel.
Yeah.
It wouldn't continue to fly along because like the wing in the back is gone.
Right.
But it still looks magnificent. All right. This is a good movie. I don't know, and it's based on a true story, and I don't know who could find fault in it. I got to get back in this game. I'm going 84.
Shit, I may have screwed myself. 68.
81.
Alive is fresh at 62.
Oh, my God.
This is a good game so far.
No, 59?
What? Oh, the meat says 59.
Did it 59? Change?
The audience is 60, 68.
Must have changed between this paper and now.
Yeah. Wow.
We will use this 59.
So it's no longer fresh.
59. Oh.
What we have the plane crash if you want to.
Oh, you have the plane crash? Let's watch it. It's awesome. The whole back of the plane comes off.
Ooh.
And they're just sort of flying along with no tail, which is awesome. Like, it's awesome. It's just planes wouldn't just fly along with no tail that way. But anyway, all right, we got it. It's a fun movie. I can't believe it's in 59. All right. What was the beef?
Couldn't tell you.
All right.
They didn't have any beef.
Mm-hmm. I know. They eat place. Each other.
Yeah. Speaking of Hunger Dome, Ethan Hawke also stars in what eventually became a trilogy of movies about two people talking. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just
yeah. Never saw any of them.
Before Sunset.
Yep.
And walked around Europe a little bit. Real exciting stuff. Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy star in 1995's Before Sunrise.
Yeah, is that the movies. Original one?
Yeah, this is the first one. This is Richard Linklater, right?
I don't. Pretty what sure, is this sure. movie? What year?
Yes.
95.
You don't know this was
No, I remember kind of seeing it. I mean, I didn't see it, but I remember seeing it and going, I'm not going to see
this
that.
This is a quintessential example of a movie I would never see. Is it good, Brian?
It's a romantic version of The Two Popes. It's lots of walking, lots of talking, and that's about and it, beautiful Europe. Okay. The setting is beautiful.
Okay,
it's a good movie, but it's not for everyone.
All right, I'm
it's tedious.
I and the gods have deemed me mathematically eliminated already. So I now have a certain amount of freedom. My freedom is I can swing for the fences or I can bunt. I no longer have to take a regular swing right. anymore because I'm mathematically eliminated.
We have one more to make it up though, after this.
I would have to hit this one dead nuts on and you guys would have to be way off. So I'm going either super high or super low. And I haven't seen this movie, so I'm just going to go 21.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you're out of it. It's a critical darling. I went 91.
Oh, my God. Wow. Right in the middle. Oh, 66.
Yeah. I think critics went nuts for this.
Before Sunrise is certified fresh.
Oh, crap.
At 100%.
Oh, my God.
Should have gone 100.
I call foul, sir.
100%.
You've got to be shitting
it
me.
It is good, but come on, 100%.
100. This is 100%. And they made what? How many more?
They made at least two more. They made Before Sunset, and then they made something. Fuck, the last one was only a couple years ago.
Jesus Before Midnight. Christ.
Before Midnight. Dude.
Matt's saying Before Midnight over here.
I might get into four digits here.
These movies.
Four digits.
I may. At this rate.
100. Jesus, I didn't see that coming.
That's insane.
All right.
Here at the Adam Carolla Show, we love ourselves some Michael Mann. So our last film this week was directed by the legendary director. It's a cyber thriller starring Chris Hemsworth and Viola Davis.
Oh, no.
You probably didn't see it because it came out in January. But did the film deserve the dreaded release month? 2015's Black Hat.
Never heard of it.
This is after I broke up with Michael Mann. We had a deep love affair for many years, but it's over.
Black Hat. Yeah. Heard of it. Yeah. Don't know.
Is this the guy from Knives Out, Brian?
Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
No, it's Chris Evans.
Oh, God.
Chris, that's Thor.
Yeah.
Wasn't
you
he
think
Thor?
Of, think of Captain America.
America.
Okay.
Come on. All right. No idea. No
Never
idea.
Heard of it.
Heard of it. No idea. I'm just going to say 50%.
Oh, right there.
I don't care.
49.
55.
Black Hat is rotten at 33%.
Okay, good night, everybody.
All right. Oh, wow. And the people have it at 24. You don't normally see that.
It was last week you told me to get a sports psychologist because I'd lost the eye of the tiger.
Well, look, you may technically get the win here, but I am going to get the people's win because it was I who lit the fire under you.
Okay.
I was the Burgess Meredith.
I owe you a little bit of
Rocky. Yeah, I basically told you that you'd lost the eye of the tiger.
Women weak in knees.
And that you needed to really focus and that you were coasting a little and we're putting a lot of tomato cans up against you and we're padding your record.
I'm scared, all right? For the first time in my life, I'm scared.
And it was time for you to run on the beach in slow motion with a muscular black man and you came back with a fucking vengeance.
Right.
And I take all the credit. Go ahead,
Gina Grad coming in with a score of 103.
Oy.
Solid second place performance. Well, Brian did best that score, but today is opposite day. And the high score wins. Oh. Adam Carolla, yes. 183 points.
Wow.
A new
to
record.
To Brian's 57.
Wow.
Adam, is that a new personal best?
I think so.
A new high?
Personal best, 71.
High.
88 with the people. lesbian movie from the 70s.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Personal Best was like the only lesbo movie we had for a long time.
Mariel Hemingway?
Yeah. Yeah, she was like a sprinter or something.
Right. Or something like that.
Yeah, she was a track person and whatever. Anyway.
That was fun.
Yeah. Vinny Tortorich is here. So we got... that's a weird poster.
Oh, my.
Because that's a different poster than the poster they normally have.
That is... Someone's in sweet agony.
That's a... Almost a bare breast.
There's a lesbo. Yeah, you're looking at a poster. That's the poster that that it was. Personal Best. What is Personal Best on Rotten Tomatoes?
Let's, for the win, let's all
for
guess.
For the win. 71.
Oh, I was going to go much lower. I was. Oh, what? Didn't we look this up and it was weirdly high?
Probably. Yeah. So Vinny's here.
Don't even guess. It is 71.
Wow.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where was that spirit in the game?
I don't know, man. People didn't like it, but I guess it got a couple of woke points back in the day for being being lesbian.
Inclusive,
huh? Vinny Tortorich coming in, Eat This, Not That, and also takes on Peloton and competition and all that right after this.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.